The second reading is from the book of Revelation, chapter 1, but it's a selection of texts from chapter 1, 9 to 11, 12 to 13, and then 17 to 19. And John is then writing a letter. You see, I, John, your brother, and your synkononos, your sharer, I guess they translate that. Yes. See, I, John, your brother, who share with you the distress, but the kingdom and the endurance, you see, of the epomone in Jesus. I was on the island called Patmos. And I was there in exile because I proclaimed God's word and gave testimony to Jesus. I was caught up in spirit on the Lord's day, and heard behind me a voice as loud as a trumpet, which said, write on a scroll what you see. And then our text has skipped in the liturgical reading, and send it to the seven churches, Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamum, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. Now, the text that we'll have in the liturgy. Then I turned to see whose voice it was that spoke to me. And when I turned, I saw seven gold lampstands, and in the midst of the lampstands, one like a son of man, a human being, wearing an ankle-length robe with a gold sash around his chest. And when I caught sight of him, I fell down at his feet as though dead. I saw the Son of Man, you see, and I saw him there, among the lampstands, the churches, and he's standing there in glory. And it says, you see, his face shone like the sun in its brilliance, you see. He held stars. His feet were polished brass. He was radiant and glorious. This is the Son of Man, who still has the marks of his wounds. But he's beautiful. He's glorious. He has authority and power. This is Jesus, you see, as it says here, you see. Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last, the one who lives. Once I was dead, but now I am alive forever and ever. This is Jesus talking to John. You see? And I hold the keys to death and the netherworld. Now write down, therefore, what you have just seen and what is happening and what will happen afterwards. Now this is a vision of Jesus in glory. Inexpressible. This is the Jesus that is described in the letter to the Philippians, that we will be conformed to his body of glory. It's radiant. The transfiguration was a foreshadowing of this, and it's recognized as such. Remember, as Luke particularly says, if you remember, we just had this, they're talking about his exodus. He's already radiant, glorious, you see. And the first letter of Peter, if you remember, we had it on the feast on that Sunday. We saw him, radiant. Now, that is his permanent state. He is radiant and glorious. And this is where we touch on the mystery of the ascension, you see. The total transformation of the sacred humanity of Jesus Christ, so that he can be in 50,000 churches in the world at the same time as our food and drink. This is the quality of his body, his person. And so John sees this, you see. Write down, now he's going to give him the prophecies And so the text goes on, to the church at such and such, and to the church at such and such. But it is the Lord, it is Hokirios, son, who is now so radiant and glorious. And we're supposed to realize, as the text says, I fell at his feet, and behold, I live unto the ages of ages, and I have the keys of death and the underworld. Right now, what you see, and what is, and what is going to happen after this. And so Jesus is going to tell his church what's going to happen. And what he's going to talk about are these seven churches, which are all in a circle in the Near East. But their message is for us as well. The message is, you see, that there will be war against those who believe in Jesus, because it disrupts the closed system. You see, if you look at the history of Western thought, at a certain point, it became man-centered. And the crisis was, how do I know? Do I really know what I know? And the whole effort of European thought was to solve the question of knowledge. And it wasn't until John Paul II that, look at another dimension of a human being, action, act. And so knowledge is not everything. You see, knowledge is access to power. But action is what changes the actor and changes the world. And so what this text is telling us, you see, is that Jesus is radiant in glory. And when the Western mind turned from any acknowledgement of God, you see, and we've rehearsed this before, but it does come right here to break in to this closed system. It's been centuries now since anybody took seriously prayer to God. Well, the believers did, but I mean the world, you know. When Lincoln declared a day of thanksgiving, it was to thank God, not just to have a day of turkey. And you see, we're so adrift now. And we have what we have, even in our legislation, you know, we have no idea that there's more. And so this vision, this text, you see, is meant to recall us. This is Jesus speaking to John, who is going to then bring about all these visions he has, which reveal this war between light and darkness, and the persecution of those who hold to the light and preach the light, which is more than just knowing. You have to act, you see? Act in love, kindness, mercy, as God does. And so we have this, I fell down at his feet. He touched me with his right hand and said, do not be afraid. And this is Jesus talking to us, right? When the scriptures are read at the liturgy, Vatican II tells us, it is still the risen Christ preaching his gospel. When we hear this text on this Mercy Sunday, it is Christ speaking to us and saying, do not be afraid of whatever. I am the first and the last, the one who lives. Once I was dead, but now I am alive forever and ever, and I hold the keys to death in the netherworld. I am the Lord of history. Look to me, And as we look at the mess that's going on, the frightenedness that's going on, as this world, having become unmoored, and that's Nietzsche's image, he said, well, now we've gotten away, we've eliminated God, and now we're spinning wildly in the universe out of control. It wasn't a good thing. We had to do it because we have to build the Übermensch, the Superman. And this is our Lord Jesus coming to speak to us, huh? On this Sunday. But he's not speaking just on this Sunday. He's proclaiming this to the world. This is Mercy Sunday. He wants the whole world to know his mercy and come back so that he can heal the wounds we have inflicted on one another. We can get over the fright. You know, Nietzsche was the one smart enough to know that once you eliminate God, you live in a perpetual state of fear. What happens then, and so many of our brave scientists and philosophers have done this, having eliminated God, they're frightened. So they look for help, and they find it with demons. And so the demons take over the world, which is exactly what they wanted. And, you just have to see what goes on. At some of these big concerts, these big rock concerts, the orgies, the madness, the abandonment to nothingness. Or as Kant says, you know, we're going up a river with icebergs on either side. And that's all there is. You see, on Mercy Sunday, the church takes these words of Jesus Christ, which reverberate throughout the centuries, which are being spoken even as we are here now. And it says, you see, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. Not your technology. Not your making babies in test tubes. Not your killing millions of children with your abortion. And not the once you start murdering and death becomes the solution to every problem, which is what John Paul II called the culture of death. Everybody is frightened. If I'm a problem to somebody, maybe they'll just kill me. Everybody is frightened. And here's the Lord saying, you see, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Once I was dead, I passed through death. The death you fear so much, I passed right through it. Now I stand here to liberate you from death, to give you now an eternal life. Your body will die, but it will rise again. And that's what we're celebrating on this Mercy Sunday. My mercy, I have come, the living and eternal Son of God, infinite in power and in mercy. Come, and I will give you life. Come, and I will lift from you your fears and darkness. You have locked yourself in your own little closet, and you're afraid. Let me open this door. Let you out. And then you will see my face. You will see my love. And you will be free of the fear, and your biggest fear, of death.